How are you today? Amen. Praise the Lord. You have somebody with you today, Teresa? Do you have someone with you today? Just wanted you to give a... Anything you want to say about her? All right. Carolyn, we're glad you're here. Glad you're here too, Mike. Oh, welcome. You too, Gary. Anything you want to say, Lynn? Nah. Now, we do have standards here. I want y'all to know we have to maintain. Good to see you today. How's your week? Good week. Wasn't that some good music this morning? They might have thought we were doing some Santana when they were going by. It was good. Really good. Couple of prayer requests, then we're going to pray. We'll continue to pray for Lisa's mom. Any update? All right. We'll pray. We'll pray. Any other prayer requests? Daniel has been to the doctor and is going back, and they thinking he's got that Marfan's syndrome, and he'll be going back to the doctor this week. And they took pictures of his heart, took pictures of his wallet. Moths flew out of there. It hadn't been open in so long. Yes, it was. It's still like this. Very big. Good point, Dave. And many of you have asked me about my mom. She had her appointment on Friday, and she lost a little bit more weight. But I hasten to say, we got some more. The oncologist is very hopeful about this chemo that he's going to try this week. But one of the things that's running her down so much is she's been diagnosed with if I say it right, atrial fibrillation, is that? Thank you. Thank you, Doc. And it's heart racing, but then her blood pressure just bottoms out. And so that's one of the reasons why she just hadn't felt well, adjusting her thyroid medication too. So these other things that are kind of unrelated to the cancer contributed to that. But the Lord's in charge of all that. So as He is in each of these cases, and we're praying for healing in each of these cases, aren't we? Let's join together right now. Peter, $110 on Thursday night. We praise the Lord for that, Peter, for His ride. That's right. Yeah, it looks like right now, May the 15th, that Peter and I are going to go on the mid-morning show with Jody Chapin, and we've got a comedy routine we're going to do. We don't... I knew all I had to do was just crack it. Just see one ray of light, and I knew what y'all would do. I know thy works. There's not even anybody up there to give me a little rim shot. Okay. Now we're ready to pray. After that, Bobby, you had one more. Okay. What a litany of death and disease and problems in that family that is gone. Let's join together in prayer. Lord, we stand in prayer today, knowing that You are Lord over all. Right now, Lord, we know You're Lord over every disease that has been mentioned here today, every problem, every situation. You are Lord over it. And so we bow to You, Lord Jesus, as we open our hands and our hearts and we put all of these requests before You. And with those open hands, Lord, we praise You for the answers that You're going to bring. Lord, as we intercede right now, and in each of these people's lives, Lord, we're claiming Your healing. We're claiming what You desire, the miraculous. And we thank You. Thank You for what You're going to do. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, he's waiting for some tests to come back on Monday to get a reading on some of his tests. Abby Bray, he's now ahead in our database. He's our first one. It's no longer Abigail Smith. All right. Did you do your assignment? Do you remember what your assignment was? I'm going to give you a second. I need a stand here. Oh, there's one right behind me. To which you would have said, if it would have been a, it would have met you. All right. You remember our values? We've been looking at values, the one that we began last week. Anybody? What is it? Yeah. We gave you one. It was kind of catchy. Thank you. Each one. All right. Okay. Now, as we're thinking about stand up so when you get it and read. Go ahead, Miss Jerry. Turn around.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Thank you, Miss Jerry. What do we commonly call that? The Great Commission. And put it in your words. What does it say? It's a good reproduce, reach, and teach. Some other ways you can say it. Disciple. Mm-hmm. Understand, okay. Yeah, you gotta. Mission field. Mm-hmm. Your own mission. Fishers of men. And solving their biggest problem. All right. What else? Harvest. in our room here. That concept of harvest. See all the metaphors that you begin to hit about this reaching people. Now, your assignment was last week to pray and ask God for the people around you. Who are the people around? What did you say, Steve? Your oikos. And what is our oikos? It's our sphere of influence. That would be my that's one of my favorite definitions of that word. Your sphere of influence, because it gets beyond as we began to introduce this each one reach one last week to pray and see who God put on your heart. Now, maybe you did that during the week, and maybe you say, man, I wish I'd have done that. Let me think of somebody. Tell you what, let's do it right now. All right? Let's pause and let's ask God to put two or three people that are in our sphere of influence on our hearts who need Jesus. And we know they need Jesus because this part is going to be necessary for the rest of it. I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask you to stand up and say their name or anything like that. No. But I want you to have these people in mind as we go forward right now. Okay? So let's pray. And Stephen, would you pray for us and ask God that the Lord will put that... these people on our hearts.
Our Lord, my God, we come before you right now, thanking you for your presence.
How many of you, God showed you some people? Okay. All right. So, remember these things that we've put up here. What each one reach one. Harvesting, reproducing, reaching, teaching, discipling, understanding that we're on mission, fishers of men. Solving their problem, specifically solving that major problem that they have. And what is their major problem? The Bible says they're dead in their trespasses and sin. It's not you're going to be lost, you already are lost. If nothing happens, if there's no intervention, what's the result? Hell, eternal separation from God. We don't like to use that word, do we? Put it on your heart, okay? You don't have to be the judge of their salvation. You just know God put them on your heart. The Holy Spirit revealed that to you. Here's a question that I want you to contemplate. Why do you think the Holy Spirit put those people on your heart? For you to work with them. They're ready. How do you know that, Bob? How many of the rest of you have had that experience that you've tried to do it? How'd it work out for you? Similar testimony? Okay. All right, Bob. That's good. So your major point in that would be. That they're ready. All right. All right, Peter? Okay. Spirit put those people on your heart. Rick? Oh, come on now. Come on now. What have you done now? I got somebody ready to kill them too. Everyone you bring out. Being right on the head. Okay, so, yeah, man, that brings up something else here about that we need to be ready. Ready for what? Ready to share the hope. We're going to, let's write that down here. Because we need to be ready. David? Okay. Now, what do you mean by that? That? Because you just went back to the word we just got through talking about, which was? Oikos. Head of household. Because we read at Philippi. What happened? Who got saved at Philippi? It was a woman. And then what happened? Which was it? Just in Philippi? She was actually from another town in. Okay, multiplication. Let's put that down. All right. And what does head of household, let's chase that just a little bit. What would a head of household be able to do? That family group. And see, what does that then dovetail into that is natural in God's order of things? Does. You know, he can come in any door. He can come in through the ceiling. In fact, he can drop somebody through the ceiling at Jesus' feet, right? And they can be healed and get to share the gospel. But in that, it's working through the natural order of things. Because how many times have you seen it? Dad gets saved in family, comes to know Jesus, and then what happens? Phew. It's like wildfire. All right? What else? Then there's this all sorts of things that happen. I can't look back on that and say that was a mistake, but that was not the idea of God's ideal will, because his perfect will is that we would marry another believer, that we would not be unequally yoked. But just to show you that God can that he can make the crooked straight. I remember my daddy, when he came to know the Lord, well, it was quite some birth pangs that went on before that actually happened. I remember guys coming out to the house and, you know, from the church that loved him, cared for him. I remember him putting his foot right there at the door and not letting them come in. It was like they were going to bust the door down or something. And I remember my dad being in a turmoil for a while. But when Jesus came into his life, our whole family structure changed. The whole decision-making process of our family changed. Everything changed. It was wonderful. Good point. Did you say perseverance? I probably can't spell perseverance, but anyway, you know what else? I'll put a a wrong. I can spell persuade. So that means that then it's less event-driven and more process. I want to get Ricky to say that. Process-driven. That process that is going on. Let's chase that just for a second, that process that goes on. Do you remember when you received Christ into your life? Okay? What went before that? Were there other people that contributed? Were there other situations? Can you count all of them? I remember hearing this guy's testimony one time years ago, and he had received the Lord, and he had never been, you know, he was very unchurched, so he didn't know any of the jargon, any of the lingo, and this was years ago. And he'd been at a revival meeting, and oh man, God just got a hold of him, and he was trying to tell another guy the next day how he could receive Jesus in his life. What do you think he told him? He said, they're having that revival over there tonight. This is the next day. He said, they're doing it tonight. He said, I showed up a few minutes late, so it'd probably be good for you to get there a few minutes late. He said, he went down the line. He told him which seat to sit in. He told him which stanza of that. He said, they're going to sing this long song at the end. They're going to sing it over and over again. He said, people are going to start coming up. They said, when you get about a half a dozen of them up at the front, that place where the preacher stands up there, he said, then you walk up and you shake that preacher's hand. He said, now he's going to put his arm around you and he's going to start praying. He said, you probably won't understand what he's saying. He said, but man, he said, when he gets through praying with you, he said, you're just going to feel like heaven's opened up. Now what was he doing? He was giving his testimony. But it's his testimony, right? God has a lot of different ways of sharing, doesn't he? A lot of different ways. I'll ask the question one more time and then we need to leave it. But why do you think the Holy Spirit put these people on your heart? He did. To show examples in our life, okay? All right, next question. What does he intend when he reveals these people to you? What is the Holy Spirit's intention in that? Ooh. Now, Holy Spirit intention. All right? And you say action? Okay? Speaking. All right? What else? Come on, say what's on your mind quickly. Prayer. Is prayer an action? You better believe it is. Because prayer goes back to that thing Rick messed with us before about, which means that the prayer is as much, come on, finish my sentence here, is as much for us as it is for them. Okay. All right. So, Could we just agree that the Holy Spirit doesn't just reveal these people just so you'll have the information? So he wants to do something, and who has he decided to use? Hey, all right, let's take that. Let's do a footnote out to the side, because what happens a lot of times? Preacher's job. We take that football that the Holy Spirit just put in our gut so we could run the ball, and what have we done? Oh, man, that's a hot potato. I don't want that thing. Yeah. Or we fumble it. Oh, man, we could go to town with these analogies. Here. So, man, get rid of that thing. Surely. No, I think you made a mistake. You weren't talking to me. Okay, so he intends for something to happen. All right, so then what is the process after that? Stewardship of what? What do you mean by that, Dave? We've got to be a steward. And by the way, that word steward, Dave, you just own today. Did you take a Greek class last week? Because that word has a root that is similar, that is rooted in the same word as oikos. Steward. We're stewarding. We're stewarding a, I almost said responsibility. It is that, but it's something that's bigger, and you think of responsibility, you maybe think negative. You're stewarding an opportunity. There it is. An opportunity and a privilege. And a privilege to be the delivery system of the Holy Spirit of God. Of what? And of whom? The what that we speak of is the, we commonly use one word for that. It's the word in Greek is euangelion. In English it is gospel, which means good news. We have been chosen to give the good news to someone. Now, how does that happen? What's the process? There you go. That, what does it look like from this point? Ah, function. We're back to that again. What did you say, Juice? That's right. And how different are the forms? And what are we talking about, Bob, when we're talking about some standards? The commonalities. Okay? Mm-hmm. Is that more true today or less true today than it was 30, 40 years ago? More true. That is, they don't want to hear what you have to share until you show that you, there you go. It's doing, and then, but there's another concept that's under that doing, out of which doing comes. And it's the The being yourself, being this person that belongs to Jesus. And that looks different with us, doesn't it? It doesn't mean that anyone is wrong, but it's just different, isn't it? It's like having different love languages. We're all different. And he wants to use our gifts and graces. All right. So that process, now, can you, I don't know if we want to chase this one today, but can you distinguish between where evangelism leaves off and where discipleship begins?
Yeah.
Is there any way to draw a line there? Doesn't ever stop. So you can make... Give me a definition of evangelism, quickly, somebody, because we're running out of time here. And you might be a negative way over here. Now, give me an example of Engel scale. Back when I was a kid, we ran into a lot of people. We did evangelism. Our evangelistic meetings in our church were on Sunday nights, typically. But you'd have somebody that was only at about a -1 or a -2. They were close to making a commitment to Jesus. And so all they needed was a little nudge. You weren't having to go back and redo what all the forms. They weren't distracted by the forms that Christianity has taken, all that. They knew all that. They had grown up in a society that was like that. And so it was just a bump over here, and then they can make that decision. But today, and this has always existed, but it's more so in our country today. You may have somebody that's over here to -20. They've never been in a church. They've never heard a Bible study. They've never listened to a radio program that was about Jesus. No one's ever read the Bible to them. And so you've got a lot of other things going on. And we've got people all up and down the scale that are in our lives. And then what Rick was saying, then you got, as they come to Jesus, then they begin to grow. And John would say, in 1 John, he said, they grow their children, young men, and fathers. That's kind of sums up that growth from there. But it's our responsibility to share Jesus with these people. How are we going to do it? Just like the Lord put those people on your heart and on your mind, He'll also show you how to do it. Now, what tools is He going to use? Every day, He uses what's available to Him. We have tended to think of evangelism, of sharing Christ with others, as we've got to have this great ability. But God is more interested in your availability, first and foremost. It becomes a tool in His hands. You're a mechanic. You're a bird watcher. You can yo-yo. Don't laugh now. Come on, Carolyn. He can use a clown, can he, Gary? He'll use whatever we put in His hand. Now, I want to make this point to you. ask the question every time, is that a small group or a large group value that we've been talking about? It's both. But let me show you. Each one reach one. Just to make your point about process, here you are. You share Christ with another person. When can they begin sharing Christ with somebody? When? Immediately. So they continue to do that. They do that. They share Christ with somebody. But then you shared Christ with somebody else. And then these share Christ with somebody. What's this starting to look like? Huh? Don't help me out, Stephen. No, I've not done this to you. This is starting to look like cell multiplication. This is starting to look like a family that's integrated. Now, those grow and they grow dynamically, so that the person who shared Christ with that person doesn't just immediately say, cut them off, say, well, I did this evangelism part, I'm going to turn it over for the discipleship to somebody else. No! You bring them in together. That's why life groups are so important. That's why it's so important to have this dynamic. And in this, you've got the guy, our Lord, who is most nigh, who is most near. And then we get together in a large group, and we've got these groups that come together, and the same sort of thing happens, and then you've got the Most High God. It's not either or. It's both and. It's both and. But if this right here is not happening, it skews everything. Because that is the basic relationship of each one reach one. Are there people that you have access to that others don't? Have you asked yourself this question? Lord, why have you put these people in my life? Now, I'm not talking about your husband or your wife or your children. Why? Somebody that you just immediately seem to have favor in them? That's a divine process. God's given you a gift. Now, are they always the people you want?
Not necessarily.
But aren't you glad that the people that were obedient in sharing Christ with you didn't edit the list, didn't monitor the calls and say, no, I'm not going to answer that call. But I know who that is. Ugh, I don't want to get... All right. Leave you with this. We began talking about the Holy Spirit. He works in you because He's already motivating you about people in your life. He's working in them so that He can bring you together. And He is already planning the experiences you will have together. He's working in all three simultaneously. He's getting you ready. Have you ever felt like after you were sharing with someone like it, man, it's almost like this was already planned out.
Yeah.
Who did the planning? Final question. Do you care enough about these people that God has put on your heart today to begin doing something about it today? Today. What would happen in Savannah, Georgia? What would happen in the Sycamore Church if this went viral? Lord, thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for your word, clear and plain, as we go into the world to teach, preach, and baptize. Thank you for these people that you put on our hearts. Now I want you right now to visualize the faces of those people. These are the people, Lord, that we're praying for. Use us in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.